Haiti is one of the most food insecure places in the world. 2/3 of the population lacks access to adequate sanitation. Out of 10.7 million people, half are undernourished and 22% of children are chronically malnourished. In Haiti, we're feeding children. $180 will feed one child for an entire year. More recently, the civil unrest in Haiti is making it difficult for the ministry to receive fuel to power their generators. And at times, they cannot cook food for the children. What you see in this video are kids eating bread and bananas instead. When you donate to feed a child, you're also helping them receive the message of Jesus. They have church every day in the cafeteria before they eat.
Exciting being up here. Feels a little strange, but wow, I'm excited about being here today. It's going to be a good time. But first of all, I just want to say I am so blessed and proud of Pastor Chip, what he's doing here at the church and the transition that's taking place. And I just want to say we got a real champion here for a pastor, and I'm just so thoroughly blessed to be working with him and being a part of this church. So I just want to say publicly, Chip, thanks. You're doing a fantastic job, and I really do appreciate it. I mean, you devote your life to something, and then you hand it off, and you just wonder, how's it going to go? And I'm just really blessed. Just love coming to church here. It's just so fun. But anyway, Easter's in 3 weeks. So as Pastor Chip said, we're getting ready for our Easter offering. We give the entire offering away. That includes special offering, tithes that come in during that week. Every bit of it goes away. And like Pastor Chip said, $1.4 million. It goes to three different missions. The one is the Amazon free water filters, $195. A water filter affects an entire family, sometimes several families, changes their lives. Then there's the wheelchairs, $50. $50 changes a person's life. Those chairs are manufactured right there in Vietnam. And then there's $190, feeds a child an entire year. An entire year, $190. I mean, that's like one meal for four people at McDonald's, $190, you know. Well, it used to be a dollar. $190. I've been on all three of these trips, some of them several times, and I can tell you, they are an incredible experience. I'm not one for traveling. I really don't care to travel much. But I will say this, they are life-changing. And if you've never, ever been on a mission trip, you ought to do one. You'll talk about it the rest of your life. It will affect you in an incredible way. But today we're going to be talking about Haiti. And I had the opportunity to travel with Steve, sponsored by Thompson Concrete. They've been big investors in this mission project for years. And we went down there, and so I thought it'd be great to just have Steve share some things with us about the trip. Steve has been there many, many times. So let's start out first, Steve. Who are we working with? Who are the missionaries we're working with down there?
It's called Waves of Mercy, and Larry and Diana Owens. 8 years ago, we used to say they've spent 30 years of their life down there, so I guess now it's closer to 38, 40 years of their life living in Haiti. They gave up everything, lived very poor, just like the Haitian people. But it's Larry and Diane Owens, and it's under the name of Waves of Mercy.
And some of the things they've done in those 40 years?
Well, they've built churches. They built a medical center that maybe twice the size of this church.
Yes.
The entire church. American doctors go down and help the Haitian people. They always have doctors of different specialties there. They did die. One time I was there, they were doing cataract surgery. They have a place for birthing the babies, mm-hmm. which they just redid that about 3 years ago. They actually tore it down, that wing, and completely redid it. because the stuff was, the building was outdated, had some cracks in the concrete, and we went, we toured all this, and you'd be shocked, as good as it was for Haiti, what we would think about the situations
for
a new baby.
Yes. We would be arrested if we tried to use that
but
stuff.
Many churches, I personally have been to three of the churches they built. One of them was one in the beginning years, and we traveled a long distance to get to it, and Larry hadn't been there for a couple years. He's older, and he was very pleased. The church was still going strong, so he was very happy to see that. But I've been personally to three of the churches they put in, and those three churches are going strong, and there are many more that I have not seen.
So they also have a feeding program. They feed about 200 children, which is the piece we're involved in. And so when I was there, Steve took me to a section of the city called Tin City. And, until the day I die, I'll never forget what I saw. I mean, just 10,000 people living in cardboard boxes, pieces of tin, blankets, sheets, no running water. But many, if not the majority of the people they feed, they're coming from this place, Tin City. They're feeding these children. They get no food. There's no running water there, anything like that. But what about this city they're in? What is this? Where are they at in Haiti?
Well, they're in Port-au-Prince. It's the second largest city in Haiti, Port-au-Prince being the capital. Port-au-Prince, after the earthquake that we've all heard about a few years back, it had a population of 750,000. A lot of the people out in the hillsides came in to the city. The population is down a little bit now. They've went back out, but it is the second largest city in Haiti.
Yeah, what about, it is the poorest city in Haiti, which happens to be one of the poorest countries in the world.
Yeah, it's one of the poorest countries in the world, and Port-au-Prince is the poorest, city.
Of the poorest, yeah. So like there, I think they said the average annual wage is between $700 and $1,000 for a general laborer a year. I mean, this place is poor, man. That's poor.
That's for the ones that find work.
That find work, absolutely.
Because there's very little work, which is a problem.
There is no work. So what about the city itself, utilities? What's it like in that city, Steve?
Oh, it's terrible. The sewage system is nothing more than about on average, 2 foot wide by 2 foot deep trench that runs along, this is downtown in the city, runs down along the streets, and it's open for the most part. Some places they pour a little concrete over, and every 20 feet they have a big opening where they get down and shovel it out. But that is their sewage system. There's no pipes underground. I've heard numbers, very, very small percentage of Haitians, at least in that area, have ever even seen a flush toilet. They don't have outhouses.
I never saw one outhouse. What about cooking there?
They cook on charcoal, which is why they don't have any trees in the country. If you've ever been there or just look at Google Earth, you'll see Dominican Republic, the same island, it looks green. Haiti looks brown. The reason it looks brown is they chop down all their trees, they burn them to make charcoal so they can cook.
Yeah, the roads, if you want to call them roads, are nothing but potholes and mud. I mean, this is in the city. They have some kind of pavement, but outside the city, I think I would call them paths. I mean, this place is so undeveloped. It's just shocking here. So what about, so this is a big thing, Steve. You, years back, felt led to do something I think is absolutely incredible. Talk about this cross that you built there.
Wow.
How tall?
You kind of wonder where these things come from sometime. we're sitting in Haiti. Many years ago, a large group of us, I think there might have been six or eight of us with Larry and Diane, and just sitting there at dinner one night, I don't know where it came from, we decided to build a cross up on top of the hill, which is overlooking the Jeremy Center and the church, and it just went from there. I came back to the States. I called a lot of architects, engineers, asked them to help me design this thing, and nobody would do it. They needed all the surveys for the earthquakes, the hurricanes, the soil conditions. Well, I can't give them any of that. I could tell them about the earthquakes and hurricanes, but the soil, it's just the top of that hill. So we ended up designing it ourselves and went up there and dug a hole in the ground really, really deep for the footer. It's a big lug footer and kind of designed it as we went. It's 54 feet tall.
54 feet tall. Yeah.
The base is 4x4. Then it goes up 10 feet and it goes to 2 foot by 2 foot, goes the rest of the distance to 54 feet. The arms are 2 foot by 2 foot and they stick out 20 feet. I did the math on this. I think it was like 6,000 pounds each arm is. They've had earthquakes. They've had hurricanes. They've had 100-plus mile-an-hour winds. There's not even a crack in it.
He's got it lit up. Yeah. It's up on a hill. This thing is lit up. When I was there, they were just finishing it, and they were painting it, and they had the scaffolding. So I got to go up. I'm telling you, 54 feet is a way up there, way up on the hill. But, I mean, it overlooks the city. It's incredible. It reminds me of a passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul's talking about the cross, the power or the message of the cross. He said, it's the power of God. I mean, you just have a declaration over the whole city, Christian, Jesus Christ. So, but when I went to Haiti with Steve, I just got to tell this story. I'll never forget this, but I'm preparing for the trip, and I feel the Holy Spirit tell me, you know, when you go there, I want you to eat the food that they're feeding the children at that time. And at that time, Steve, with Thompson Concrete, they were building what you saw on the pictures, a nutrition center. But when I went there, it wasn't built. So at the time, they were feeding the children on the streets. And I remember telling Steve, I said, Steve, when I go there, I said, I'm going to eat the food we're serving the kids. I'm going to eat what they eat while we're there. I said, I don't want to be weird about it. Nobody else has to do it. I think I'm supposed to do that. And Steve said, all right, I'll do it with you. So we show up there, and I think using the word unsanitary is too nice.
Mm-hmm. It, yes.
This was the dirtiest, disgusting, most unclean thing I've ever seen in my life. They're serving on the street in Port-au-Prince, which is filthy, open sewerage, garbage everywhere, human waste, and they've got these pots that are not really clean. They've got spoons. They haven't washed. They have cups and bowls they're handing out, and I'm thinking, we're going to die. Now, I went to Vietnam, and I tried everything, washed my hands, never drank their water, didn't eat anything, looked bad. I got sick twice there. I went to Amazon doing the free water filters twice, got sick both times there, once ate some bad food, other time I got an infection, it was so bad I had to go see the doctor in what they call the hospital. On the Amazon wasn't a hospital. So I'm thinking, we're going to die. This is going to be bad. And there, Steve and I, during that time, we sat there and we ate that food, and we did not get sick. It was absolutely incredible. I felt like we were living that passage in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus said, go out and preach the gospel. And he said, by the way, if you pick up any serpents, they won't bother you. If you drink any poison, it won't bother you. And I'm thinking, yeah, whatever we were eating was bad. It was really bad. But it was exciting. And now they've got this incredible nutrition center there. It's just beautiful what they've done there. But Steve, couple final questions. What's happening there now? What are the plans? And where are we going with this?
Okay, well, I haven't seen it. I designed it and I helped dig it out, but we left the last time and I didn't see it completed, but it is completed. There's another building on the top of the hill, and it's where they store, they call it the depot. My original drawings on this were supposed to end up being housing for people that work at this area, but they're using it right now for a depot for food. So that's something new that's happened in the last 2 years, which is really nice. Larry has it on his heart. He's already purchased the land, and he wants to build a home. There's a lot of people in Haiti that have AIDS, and with the end process of having AIDS, it's not the best for these people. So he wants to build a place where one family member and whoever it is that has AIDS can go there to die. And the cemetery will be in the same place, but he's trying to give a little bit of dignity to the people in Haiti dying of AIDS. And it is a very high percentage of the people there that have AIDS. So that's the next thing on Larry's heart there.
It's an incredible mission, Steve. And one of the things our church has tried to do for years is we practice with foreign missions what we call boots on the ground. And what that means is we need to have our people there just to make sure everything is legit and, you know, everything is right. Steve, you've been there many times. Can you tell the church, is this a legit ministry? Can you vouch for what they give for these children?
Yes, every penny. Every penny goes to these children. It's not one of these organizations where somebody's getting a paycheck or something. And talking with Larry and Diane, I happen to know Larry's a Vietnam vet, and they do, there is Social Security that they get. They live just like the Haitians. It's very poor. Now, we did build them a nice house down there on top of the hill for Haiti, a very nice house. For around here, it's an okay house. So they're living better here the last few years, but they ask for nothing. They take nothing. The vehicle they drive, Thompson Concrete gave to them. They have a side-by-side Thompson Concrete gave to them. Prior to that, they walked, or they rode on what's called tap-taps for 50 cents or a buck, depending on where they went. They have nothing. Every penny goes to these children, the church, and the people of Haiti. Diana's, in my mind, almost a Mother Teresa. When there's an injury anywhere in town, even though there's a hospital, the hospital is actually an adjoining town that they built, they bring the sick to her, and every evening she sits out there and doctors up these people that have either been in a fight or injured in a moped accident or at work, or they need medicine, high blood pressure. She has a storage room there that she has all these medicines. She doesn't have, to my knowledge, any formal training, but I've seen her doctor up some people that were in really bad shape. As far as injuries, that's all they do. They just live to help these people. They've given their whole life. But every penny goes to these children. When you give money for these children for their food, I can guarantee every penny will go to buying the food. It also goes towards the propane, stuff like that. But it's involved in feeding these children every day.
We looked at their invoices.
Yes.
We checked the stuff out. So it's legit. Steve, thank you for what you and Thompson Concrete have done there. And if anybody has questions, you want to find out more, Steve will be happy to talk with you. It is a great program. So thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Steve's walking a little gingerly here, just had his knee replaced, so he's gonna, Steve and I both had our knees replaced, so he's doing great though over there without his cane. So I'm going to take some time this morning to talk about giving. As Chip said, we kind of take a few weeks every year to talk about giving, especially when we come to the Easter offering. There's a passage I've been meditating on ever since Chip asked me if I would do this. So I want to read a passage. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, and just take a few minutes, talk about it with you this morning. But it's a common passage. I'm sure you've all heard it. But anytime you study Scripture, there's always some new things you learn and really got some clarification on this. But this is Luke chapter 6, and it's verse 38. Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you." So this is Jesus. This is the red letter edition. And here's Jesus talking. And the first thing I just want to say here is whenever I prepare for a sermon, I always read other sermons. I always try to see what other people are saying. And so one of the things I did see is there were people saying, well, Jesus really wasn't talking about giving financially here. He was talking about giving forgiveness and giving kindness and stuff like that. But I can tell you, he clearly was talking about giving regarding finances here. All you have to do is back up a few verses. I just want to back up a few and read this to you. And you'll see here, verse 35, "But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you," as we just read. So this is a passage about what we would call godly behavior. But clearly he's talking about giving and lending. And if you read it in the other gospels, it's even more amplified here. But he's talking about giving. He's talking about a response here. And just so that we don't misunderstand him, he says gives you four different ways that you're going to receive. He says, "Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Four different words he uses here to drive the point home. He's trying to say something. And so this morning I thought what I could do is just maybe a little illustration for you so you don't read this passage and just blow through it. You stop and think, what was he really trying to say here? So I need a helper. So I've invited my granddaughter Milana to come up and help me this morning. So Milana, come on up here. Let's see here. Okay, so stand right over here. So now Milana's going to make an offering. So this is going to be your offering. This is your offering play here. And let's come over here. So now this is going to be her giving. All right, so this is how much. Wow, that's quite a bit. You're going to give all that, Milana? Okay, there's your offering. All right, so she has made an offering. Jesus said, give. Turn this way, give. And it will be given to you. And the first thing he says is good measure. It will be given to you good measure. So now, Mila, I'm going to give you a little bit back. There's your good measure. Is that good?
No.
Show it to them. What's wrong with that?
It's not the whole thing I gave.
What are you talking about?
I gave more than this.
All right. So, good measure would be giving at least what you gave. So there's good measure. That's what you gave. Is that good measure? Would that be about what you gave?
Yeah.
All right. But he didn't stop there. Then he said, press down. Press down. All right. So let's press it down. Like, Mila, this is what your parents do when they're packing a suitcase to go on vacation, right? And that way you pack your suitcase. Why do you press down stuff in your suitcase? So you can close it, but you get more in. That's right. You go, I gotta get some more in. So we just pressed it down. So he said, good measure, press down. So now since we pressed it down, we can get a little more in there. All right. Then he said, shake it together. So shake it together. Why are we shaking it together? Well, when you shake it together, it makes a little more room. So wait, now we can add a little more here. So now he said, good measure, press down, shaking together, and then what's the last one? Oh my goodness. He said, wait. This is, well, no. Oh, okay, put it right here. Running over, hold it, wait, running over. Running over. He's trying to make a point here. Thump it in. All the way. Man, well, that is, you know what, Milana, you did such a great job. Thank you. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus exaggerate when he taught? He's not like some fisherman. Not like me. Absolutely. Definitely not like me. My fish are always this big. Keith's are about this big, and Steve's are about this big. My brother's fish are about this big. Jesus did not exaggerate, okay? Right? Am I right? So what's he trying to do when he says, give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over? He's trying to drive a point. He's trying to say something that you don't miss here. And what I think we miss is what often people say when they give. I mean, many of you, I'm sure you've heard it or you said it, people say, when I give, I don't expect anything in return. And I think people say that and they mean well. Actually, that's what Jesus said here. So this is where I think a little revelation can help you. Think about this. Jesus says, when you give to men, don't expect anything in return. Don't. Then he says, but when you give, do expect something in return. Is Jesus confused? What's the point? Well, he says, when you give, verse 35, love your enemies, do good, lend or give, hope for nothing in return. When I give to people, I do not expect them to give back to me. That's the point. But then he goes, but give, and something is going to happen. God is going to give back. So yes, it's okay to say, when I give, I don't expect anything in return regarding people, but it is biblically incorrect to say, when I give, I don't expect anything in return, because Jesus said, you will get something in return. You will. He's telling us the right attitude about giving. It will help us if we follow his instruction. Now why would Jesus say, when you give, you should expect a return? Why would he say that? Because I believe he wants us, when we give, to look and see if God honors his word. This is a biblical principle. Giving and receiving is a biblical principle. You cannot read the scriptures and miss this. It's found in the Old Testament passages, like in Deuteronomy, if you give and share with those who are in need, God will repay you. Pastor Chip covered a verse last week, Proverbs 19, if you give to the poor, you're lending to God, he'll repay. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, if you even give a cup of cold water to someone, God will repay and reward you. The principle of sowing and reaping, it's everywhere in Scripture. You can't miss this. And so Jesus is telling us this is a principle. And he's saying, watch, because if you watch, you will see God honor his word. You're not giving to receive to enrich yourself. That's the wrong attitude. You're giving to receive to see God honor his word. When you're looking, you'll see it. If you're not looking, you won't see it. And the sad part about that is you miss an opportunity to see God working in your life. I mean, it is so exciting when you see God doing things in your life. It's the ultimate adventure, following the leading of the Holy Spirit and doing things as the Holy Spirit leads you. I mean, it's the life of the ultimate adventure. But he wants you to give expecting a return. Not just a return, shaken together, measured, overpressed, run. He wants you to know it's above and beyond. Now, for many years, Roxanne and I practiced this. We still practice this. And for many years, we would give where we just sensed an adventure and we said, let's watch what God does. And we recorded it many, many times. Matter of fact, I have two books here. They're filled. One of them's called Adventures with God. The other one's called God's Stories. I wrote these. They're just my own chronicles. And I just put them together mostly for my kids and my grandkids. Just stories of God honoring his word. And I read them. I go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, my gosh, yes, wow. And they're my stories. I don't even care whether you believe it or not. They're my stories, and I have seen God do just what Jesus said he would do. He said, if you do this, I will give it back to you. Now, to be fair, he didn't say cash, right? He didn't say, I'll give you money. But come on, let's really be fair. If a person knows nothing about God and they're reading that passage, pretty sure their takeaway is financial. They're going to get financial out of that. Lots of different ways he can financially bless you. You can get a raise unexpected at work. You can get a bonus. You can get a refund. You can have the things that you own last an extremely long time. You can have investments that just seem to really do well. You can get a refund. I mean, there's a multitude of different ways. But if you're not looking, you're not going to see them. You just won't. If you're looking, you go, oh my goodness, look at that. No, that's unusual. I'm going to write that down. You'll know. And again, to be honest, he didn't say, if you give within 1 week, you'll get it all back. Right? He didn't say that. All right? He didn't say within a month. So, but some people say, oh, well, really what he meant was heaven. So if you give, you know, when you die, you'll get it in heaven. Well, that's kind of true, but kind of not true. Later in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 19, Jesus is with the disciples. They forsook all to follow him. And they're talking to Jesus. I think it's Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, you know, we've given everything up to follow you. You know, is there any reward for us? And Jesus says, this is in Luke, you can read it. He said, yeah, you will receive a blessing, a reward. And then he says, in this life and hereafter. So the giving that Jesus is talking about is in this life. We're not just talking heaven. It's a bonus. You get this life and heaven. And then the only thing I can say is it has to be reasonably close to the giving for you to make the association. So in other words, if I give to the Easter offering and I'm watching and watching and watching and 10 years go by and in the 11th year I get a financial blessing, I'm not going to make that connection to my offering. It's just not. There's got to be enough closeness to the reward that he's talking about to make the connection. And I believe he does this. I've lived it. My wife and I, we've lived this 40 plus years. Just a real quick testimony last year. Everybody's different, but just so you see how this works. Last year, we're talking, what are we going to give for the Easter offering? I had mentioned to everybody, hey, we're getting our government stimulus. You can give a lot of money now and it doesn't even affect your budget. So we talked and prayed. We felt God saying, give your stimulus money away. All right, so we wrote the check and gave it away. I said, we've done this so many times before. Let's log this and let's watch, see what happens. Within 2 weeks, I get a bill from Reynoldsburg City saying, you owe $24 in back taxes. I go, great blessing, God. I go, that's the first thing. And I think, I hate this stuff. I'm just going to write him a check. I do taxes. I know, I could figure this out. It's like, it's $24. It'll probably take me hours to figure this out. I'll just write the check. I get just a witness inside. Holy Spirit says, no, go look into this. So I pull out all our paperwork. We're looking into different things. Guess what I find out? $460 mistake made by Reynoldsburg where they credited the wrong account. For me, they owed me $460. I applied. I got a check, $460. That's the first one. This is incredible. 2 weeks later, I get a check in the mail, $677 from Huntington National Bank. The letter says, 6 months ago, you refinanced a house, and Huntington made a mistake, and we owe you $677. I got a check, $677. Like, okay, we're over 1,000 right now. 2 weeks later, I get a letter from AEP, American Electric Power. Mr. Diani, we'd like to have right of way or access to a corner of a piece of property you own. If you sign this paper, we'll send you a $3,000 check. I signed the paper, got a $3,000 check. In 2 months, plus, I'm not even going to the other smaller 200 here, 100 here, 400 here. All in about 3 months, over $4,500 came back into my account. Well, you can say whatever you want about that, but I believe that's Jesus doing exactly what he said. I challenge you. In summary, I challenge you. First, you have to pray. This isn't a game. You don't just go, well, Pastor Dave said if I give, I get it back. You go ahead, then you're not getting it back. You better do what God tells you to do. You better do what God tells you to do. This is what's awesome about offerings. Let me help you here. Offerings really bring out relationship. See, tithing to me is obedient giving. Offering is spirit-led. He may tell you to give 50. He may tell you to give 1,000. He may tell you to give 5,000. It's between you and him. You got to pray. Second, be open to sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving, there are times where God will call you to give above what you think you can afford, meaning you have to sacrifice something. But I tell you, when those events happen, they're just supernatural. Those are some of the stories that I wrote about. Just giving away something we saved up for. I said, nah, I want you to give that away. Sacrificial giving. It's not a frequent thing, but be open to that. Sometimes he wants you to give sacrificially. And then third, look and see if Jesus honors his word. He does. He does. He will honor his word. And it'll be for you. It'll be your story, You write it down, you collect it, and as a result, your faith, your relationship with God just grows. It's just, it's an incredible opportunity. So love the Easter offering. I pray God guides every one of you to be a part of it. So let's close in prayer. God, thank you that, I don't know, I just thank you for our church and what you've done with our church over the years. And I thank you for the opportunity for these special offerings. They bring out something in us, God. There's that relationship where we need to hear your voice. And then it's a challenge, God. Can we take that step? Can we trust you? Do we believe you're going to do what you said? I pray even today, God, you're giving numbers to people today, right now. Things they can do. How they can be a part of this Easter offering. And God, I pray that they look to see you do what you said. Good measure, shaken together, pressed down, running over. You have a way of doing that, God. Can we all stand? I'm going to pray for our offering as we're praying here. God, I pray for our offering, and I just thank you for the people who support this church, that help the staff to do the programs and the things that we do, God. Thank you for their offerings and the different ways people give. God, I pray a blessing on their finances, that they see your hand in their finances. Bless the offering. Help the staff and the leadership, God, to use it in a way that continues to honor you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.